Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I give you glory and honor this morning, even as we gather together again around the word of God, as we look the perfect law of liberty this morning, the entrance of your word, we know. It brings light and it gives understanding. And we pray, as always, you cause that light to shine in our hearts today. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. You said, as we see the days approaching, we should encourage one another. Now, the spirit of encouragement go forth in this room here this morning to say that there is a lifting up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Battle tested. Fire branded. You know, we've got some prime examples in the Bible that I want to share. I mean, these are, you know these stories, but we just want to bring them again to encourage us. And this is how some people responded in the scriptures in the face of adversity and different things, and the encouragement that the scripture gives us on how we should respond. You know, and we've been talking about different aspects of this the last few days in this room, you know, that look, you know, the Lord knows these things will come and he knows we'll go through these things. He never promised that we wouldn't have any of these situations. But how do we respond? Praise God. Let's look at the, you know, some people that I call battle tested believers. You know, I mean, some of them are, you know, fire branded too, if you want to call it that. I mean, they've been through the fire. They've been through the floods. They've been through stuff. And they have a testimony. And they have some declarations that they made in the scriptures that we can look at, draw strength from for our own times of going through. And we all go through. Praise God. You know, so, but as I always say, the key word is through. That means we're always going to make it. We're going to come out on the other side, no matter what. Kitchen sink and all, the devil may throw at you. You know, there's a good scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that tells us, you know, how to withstand. That's right. How do you withstand? You know, the battle-tested believer that we're going to talk about today, it's something that is common with them. And what's common is the kind of, you know, armor that they strap on. You know, it's time to suit up. Praise God. Suit up! When you hear the alarm, you got to suit up before you go and tackle the fire. Praise God. Our sister Renita knows about that. You got to suit up. There is a, you know, fire brewing and we must suit up. Praise the Lord. And how does he tell us? What do you suit up? How do you suit up? What do you put on? Well, here are some things, but I want to draw attention to one particular thing. You know, said, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord. You know, now God's always telling us, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord. Daniel 11:32, the people that do know their God shall be strong. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about some of that this morning. And God doesn't want us to be, you know, weaklings and pushovers and things like that. The devil will just come in, have a field day, play ping pong with your life, push you over and so on. No, be strong in the Lord. Quit ye like men. Be strong in the Lord. The scripture tells us all these things. You know, so the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Because the scripture knows that, look, there's going to be all kinds of things the devil will throw at you. You know, and he said too, we do not wrestle, you know, against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The devil acknowledges this. I mean, the Bible acknowledges these things are out there. Powers, you know, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness, you know, in high places. Now, these things, you know, they are out there. But here's how you suit up. Take on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. So there will be evil day or days. And having done all to stand. I call it last man standing. That's right. Glory to God. You know, you need to be that last man standing. You know, it don't matter if everybody else knocked over. Scripture says, look, the psalmist, he was one of those bold people. He said, look, some of them trust in chariots and all of that. You know, they trust in the arm of strength. They are falling down. But we that trust in the name of the Lord, we are risen and we stand upright. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what he said in Psalm 20, you know, and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, you know, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, those people that trust in the arm of flesh, he said they are brought down and falling. But we that trust in the name of the Lord, we are risen and we stand upright. So stand therefore. Hallelujah. You know, having done all, keep on standing. You know, the devil come against you with one thing. You survive that. You go on the next thing. You survive it. The next thing, you survive it. And at the end, you are still standing. Hallelujah. And you are called an overcomer because you have overcome many different things. Praise the Lord. And look at the weapons that he tells us to put on. Powerful stuff that you use for, you know, for battle. And you suit up, you put on, you know, the girdle of truth. You know, wear, you know, this girdle like this bread, you know, this belt around there. You know, Paul looking at some of those Roman soldiers as they dress up and so forth. He was in prison looking at them, and he would put down these writings and say, you know, put on the breastplate. They would wear these things like, you know, what people wear today for the bulletproof vests and so forth. They had their own breastplates that you would wear against arrows and different things back then, you know, and, you know, put on your shoes. You got to wear the shoes, put on, you know, everything and take on the sword of the spirit and all that. But I love this one where it says, and above all, you can read that in verse 16. I love that part. Above all these things, above all, take the shield of faith. Now, that's it right there. Wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I mean, they used to have these thick metal shields that they would carry in and drag into battle. And so when those arrows are thrown, hide behind those shields, the arrows can't penetrate, you know, they just have those things and so on, you know, to ward off all the attacks and so on. Have that shield of faith and be determined. Take on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the spirit. You know, well, I mean, you're not always going to be on defense. You know, sometimes a better defense is offense. Sometimes you got to go on the offensive. Jesus said, cast them out. You know, you see them everywhere. Cast out those evil spirits. You know, go into his strongholds and bind him. And sometimes you got to go on the offensive. You can't just play defense all the time. You know, but you got to go on the offensive sometimes. But let's look at the testimony of some of these people in the scriptures, how they did it, and the lessons they left for us, the testimonies that they gave, the situations that they were, you know, powerful, powerful stories throughout the Bible. Let me start with Paul. Paul was someone that always knew how to encourage people in the Lord, and he gave his own testimonies too. You know, he began to talk about, you know, the various things that he had passed through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. We are troubled on every side. yet not distressed. Are you troubled on every side? It looks like, you know, I mean, you hardly haven't finished going through one trouble, yet another trouble comes. Kind of like Job, you know, one thing is happening. He's getting the news. He hasn't quite processed that, yet another news comes. And while he's still processing that, yet another news comes. While he's still processing that, yet another. I mean, my goodness, you know, these are people that have gone through all kinds of things. And Paul said, look, he called it trouble from every side. Troubled on every side. Yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Can you identify with Paul's testimony here and his declarations? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. I love that one. But not destroyed. And always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. And he says that a couple of times here. The life also of Jesus be made manifest in our bodies. But look, whether we are knocked down, we don't stay down. Whether we have trouble, we don't allow it to throw us into depression. You know, whether it looks like we are in confusion and so forth, we don't give up. You know, we don't despair of life. You know, we're always hopeful. Hallelujah. The Bible says rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation and so forth. Instant in prayer, serving the Lord. You know, this man, he knew how to go through stuff. You know, and there was a lot of stuff. You should read his full resume. You know, all the stuff that he threw. So many times beaten, thrown into prison and all these things in shipwreck and so on and so forth. Sometimes having no food to eat. He said, look, we are like the offscouring of the earth. You know, we are made like the filth of the earth. You know, all these things, you know, come upon us, the apostles, he said. And, but at the end, you know, he used all those things to give us encouragements. He would say things like, you know, like this. He said, look, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans chapter 12, you know, and verse 12. I mean, how can you rejoice when you're going through stuff? Sometimes it's hard, but it's not impossible. Some people have learned to do it. That can be sometimes a tremendous weapon against the devil. I mean, don't you ever let the devil see you crying over stuff that he throws at you. You show him that it's nothing at all. You know, I am more than a conqueror. You know, through my God, I run through troops. I leap over walls. You know, I'm going to defend myself, my family, and so forth. You cannot, you know, come against me in any which way. You come out against me one way, I'm going to drive you back seven different ways. I mean, we got to be strong in the Lord. And listen to another thing that Paul said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, and verse 14. And this is a testimony that he gave concerning all the things that he went through. He said, now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. Well, triumph means, you know, you've been through some stuff and you come out as a winner. You know, God always causing us to triumph in Christ. Make it manifest the savor of his knowledge in us in every place. Always causing us to triumph. You know, so no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what mistakes you yourself make, whatever. We've talked about God can use all those as ingredients. But the end of it is he causes us to triumph. Glory to God. Listen to how he puts it again in Romans chapter 8. Powerful, powerful testimony. This man was definitely, definitely a battle-tested believer. And he knew how to survive. And he knew how to, you know, thrive even in the face of tribulation. He knew how to come out as a winner. And let's read some of his testimonies and his encouragement towards us. Romans 8, you know, I begin to talk about the things. What shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, 31. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth you? It is Christ that died for you. Yea, rather, that is risen on your behalf. That's right. And even now at the right hand of God, also making intercession for you. Glory to God. Now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I mean, look at his testimony. I mean, what are the things that can separate me? Tribulation, testings, trials, distress, losses, failures, even mistakes of my own, persecutions, famines, nakedness, peril, sword, what have you. You name it all. He said, look, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I mean, not just a conqueror, but you are more than conqueror. I mean, you vanquish the enemy and you come out still with your head high up and rejoicing in the Lord. Praise God. You know, more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen to this. For I am persuaded. Now, that's Paul's testimony. Are you also similarly persuaded that neither death, you may have had a loss in the family, neither life, whatever is going on, it doesn't matter, good or bad, angels or devils, doesn't mean anything. No angels, no principalities, no powers, no things present, nor even things to come. What I'm going through now, what is yet ahead, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Whether I'm up, he said, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature, you know, doesn't matter. Situations, creatures, what have you. This man was definitely, you know, battle tested. He said, none of these things can move me, you know, and none of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He also told us that, look, he has developed, you know, a fighting strategy. He knows how to fight his battles, picks his battles. He's not just, you know, swinging and shadow boxing. He doesn't do any of that. You know, I know what I'm doing, he said. And he encouraged all of us also to run our race, you know, with precision. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And he said, look, every man that striveth for mastery, the athletes and so forth, they are temperate. They, you know, they go through self-discipline. They cut off many things, you know, while they are in training, and they got a training regimen that's very strict because, you know, they know what's ahead. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But what about us that are looking for an incorruptible crown? So we should be ready to do these things. Train, put yourself through the hardships and all these things that they do. You know, there, you know, some of the athletes when they are in training camp, I mean, they even have self-imposed, you know, the coach or whoever might impose. Think of the Holy Spirit as a coach. And he may, you know, allow us to go through stuff for strengthening. I mean, even when you go to the gym on your own, I mean, there's resistance training, there's muscle strengthening, and there are certain things that you do. Certain kinds of exercises are defined, for, I mean, designed for certain things, you know, and so forth, you know. So, but he said, look, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just swinging widely. I mean, it's like your eyes have, you know, blinded and you're just swinging because you don't know where things are coming from. No, I have laser focus. I know what I'm fighting. That devil brings this thing, I have my shield, I block it. He brings this one, I've got my shield on this side, I block it. I block it. And then I go after him as well. You know, so the devil, he knows how to throw those things. And we also must know how to ward off those things. And we must know how to fight and engage, you know, and not just, you know, let him play ping pong with us, you know, and soldiers are being trained, you know, they're going in, especially, you know, elite forces, they know what they're doing. They're going in for a surgical strike. They're trained, they practice, they're trained, you know. So we also, we're not just beating the air. Say, look, as part of all of that too, I keep my body under. That's right, you know. And so I put everything under so that even I myself telling you these testimonies and these encouragements, I don't want to be a castaway, you know. So that's Paul's testimony. And that's my testimony too, by the grace of God. We must do these things, you know, and be strong in the Lord and everything that we're going through. We've got to be strong in the Lord. Let's look at David's testimonies of how, when he was going through stuff, what he did. You know, you've heard, you've read his story, and I read to you 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses, the story in Ziklag, what happened to them, you know, how, you know, their small community was invaded while they went and fought alongside the Philistines and so forth. And the few people that were with David, you know, they murmured because all their souls were distressed. They said, look, you dragged us into, you know, a fight that doesn't even belong to us. And look at us now. All our families are taken. Our wives are captured. Our sons and daughters are gone. Our city is destroyed. And the people even stopped, you know, they spoke of stoning him. And the Bible says that in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and daughters that were captured, taken away by these Amalekites, you know. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do it? Well, I'll tell you how he did it. Let's take a look at Psalm 42. Now, this is how he did it. You know, when things are down, you know, and everything coming at him in every different way. Well, here's what he said. He said, my tears, Psalm 42 and verse 3, I've been my meat day and night. He cried, you know. I mean, sometimes he cried unto the Lord, you know, in my distress. He said, I cried unto the Lord. I mean, David knew how to cry unto the Lord, you know. But once he did that, you know, crying unto the Lord, then he would strengthen himself. And people say, where is your God? You know, and all these things they tell you. The devil will also tell you too. Did not the Lord say you would emerge? Look at you now. You know, the Lord say you experience a quantum leap, but see where you are, you know, and the devil will chide with you and do all these things and so forth. Where is your God? You know, we'll see what will become of those declarations that you've been making. Psalm said, look, when I remember these things, Psalm 42 and verse 4, I pour out my soul within me. You know, he said, look, and sometimes I even go to the house of God with people. And this is the story of many of us. You go to the house of worship. You're there. You see people, you know, praising the Lord. But inside of you, there's a great burden. You come out on these platforms and you're talking these things to encourage us. But still, there's a burden in your heart. You know, David said, look, I went with a multitude to the house of God. And you know how he loved to go to the house of God. He said, I rejoiced when they said it's time to go. You know, but in the middle of all of that, you know, he said, look, in the middle of all of that, my soul was still cast down. So what did he do? He said, well, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Spoke to his own soul. Why art thou disquieted within me? I mean, his mind's going up and down crazy, you know. But he said, look, that's what I'm resolved to do. I will hope in God. He talked to himself. Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He knew help was coming. Praise the Lord. And, you know, he said, look, my soul is cast down and all these things. You know, and but he cried unto the Lord, you know, why thou disquieted within me? Said it again, you know, in verse 11 or so, you know, said it again and again. Hope thou in God, I shall yet praise him with the health of my countenance and my God, you know. And then he said it again in the next chapter, Psalm 43, said it again in verse 5. Why thou cast down, O my soul, why thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. With the health of my countenance, oh my God. And he continued to encourage himself like that. And then, you know, he's been through a lot of battles, a lot of battles. And his declaration, you know, at the end of it all, he said, look, things may be going on for me, but, you know, joy is coming in the morning. Psalm 30 and verse 5, he said, look, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And he knew how to weather the storms in the night, looking forward to joy in the morning. So you got to weather those storms. Go through. Got to go through. And at the end of it, you come out and you give glory and praise to the Lord. And he said in Psalm 27, he said, look, the Lord is the strength of my life. You know, I don't care what people will try to do to me. I'm not going to be afraid. It's a light, my light. It's my salvation. You know, it's the strength of my life. You know, what, you know, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up against me to eat up my flesh. Hallelujah. And they will come up. All kinds of things will come up against you. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not about people, but principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. They'll come to try to take away your joy, bring all kinds of things against you. Well, Psalmist said they stumbled and they fell. Hallelujah. May that be your testimony also, that all the things that try to come up against you will stumble and fall. He said, look, though an host should encamp against me, I don't care, trouble in every direction, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. He was a battle-tested person. He knew how to go into battle. And he went to battle against the bear and the lion. He got back what was stolen of him, I mean from him. And he said, look, the Lord that delivered the lion to my hand, the bear into my hand, was just a teenager. And go up against this Goliath. I mean, this man would not back down from anything. But he knew, too, that the Lord was with him. He said, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. So David inserted himself right there, you know, to promote the name of the Lord, to make it about the God's battle. And he was going to get a victory. And he did too. Listen to what he said in Psalm 144 and verse 1. Powerful testimonies from those who knew how to endure and how to have the victory. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Hallelujah. So he knows how to, he knew how to fight. He knew how to do stuff. Said the Lord, you know, taught me to do these things. And I have strength in the Lord. Praise God. What about Isaiah? How did Isaiah testify of these things? You know, we've shared these lessons together. I'm just bringing it all together to encourage us again this morning. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. We have shared it in this room as a memory verse. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I'm going to set my face like a flint. You know, that's where, you know, the phrase of put on your game face. That's where it came from. I'm going to put on my game face. I will not be deterred and I will not be discouraged and I will not let anything, you know, any setback or any such thing get won over me. No, you know, he said, because I know that I will not be ashamed. He knows it. And he was able to testify against it. But what happens though, if you, you know, if you allow the devil to get an advantage over you? Well, we shouldn't. Here's what the scripture says about that in Proverbs chapter 24. We know that, look, there are times when we will be strong in the Lord. God wants us to always be strong in the Lord. You know, there are times when we'll be strong in the Lord. There are some times when, you know, we will not be so strong. But encourage us, like, look, when you fall, when the devil gets an advantage over you, you need to get up again. You know, so Proverbs 24 and verse 16 tells you that a just man falleth seven times, but he riseth up again. You know, no matter how many times he falls, he's going to get up again. I mean, Micah puts it so perfectly. I love it. And he said, look, rejoice, Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not, you know, over me or against me, O my enemy. You know, for when I fall, I shall arise. And you heard me say before, I'm not going to stay down for the count. Now, these people, they can take one. Take it on the chin, take it in the belly, take it in the gut, take it everywhere. Devil can cheap shot you even sometimes. But, you know, when you hit the canvas, are you going to stay down for the count? And these people said, no, I'm never staying down for the count. When I fall, I will arise. He said, well, a righteous man may fall seven times, but he'll get up seven times. You know, he's not going to stay down for the count. When I sit in darkness, even the Lord, it will be a light unto me. Hallelujah. I mean, these are powerful, powerful testimonies. And here is the way I like to tell people, you know, I call it snap out of it, is the way I say it. You know, Isaiah gave this, you know, lesson himself, you know, Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 2. It tells us, look, at some things that you have to take up your strength and do things. Don't just sit down there and wallow in defeat. Shake thyself from the dust, he said. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Take it off! This is self-deliverance, ladies and gentlemen. Take those things off, you know, by the word of God. You got power. Whomsoever the Son of Man shall set free, is free indeed. You don't need to be under bondage and pain. The Lord said in Leviticus 26 and 13, I have set you free that you will no longer be bondmen. You know, therefore don't put your neck under their, you know, their braces anymore. You know, get yourself from out of there. Now, this scripture says, you know, shake yourself from the dust, loose thyself from the bands around your neck. O captive daughter of Zion. You know, deliver yourself. Don't be a captive. Praise the Lord. Well, sometimes we go through things that are overwhelming. We have to use these scriptures to encourage ourselves. Even Job, he did it. I mean, not exactly Job, but, you know, in the book of Job, it's written in Job chapter 14, you know, verses 7 to 9. You know, that's a powerful, powerful lesson there that can encourage us, and we can use these scriptures, you know, to help ourselves. I'm talking about, you know, there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it will sprout again. This is along the lines of, look, cut down, but not destroyed, you know. Cast down, but don't stay down for the count. This tree, it's cut down, but they say it's going to sprout again. The tender branch thereof will not cease. You know, though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stalk is dying. I mean, it looks to you like there's no hope for this tree. But they say, no, there is hope for the tree. All the tree needs is a little scent of water. Huh, glory to God. The scent of water will make it bud again, and it'll bring forth boughs like a plant. So many powerful things in the scriptures. from different people from time to time. I mean, what about Habakkuk? I mean, look at all the things that he went through and see, listen to his testimony. At the end of it all, he said, look, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. I mean, look, you know, you may have lost and your investment, lost this and lost that. Things are cut off. There's no income coming. In the labor of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from. I mean, this man was bankrupt. He said, look, all these things don't mean anything. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. You know, rejoicing in hope. Steadfast, even during tribulation. You know, instant in prayer. And so forth. Can we do these things? You know, can we handle tribulation? Or are we going to crack under pressure? Oh, well, some of these people didn't crack. You know, they were strong in the Lord. And of course, the Lord was their strength. And he said, look, these things might be cut off. You know, there may not be anything coming in. Things are cut off and all these things, but yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and I'm going to run again. Praise God. And he will yet make me to walk upon my high places. And these are testimonies of people that bounced back. They knew how to bounce back from whatever it is that the devil threw at them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. Here's some more testimonies from Paul. He said, look, it's not that things are always good. I mean, I'm glad when things are good, but whether they are good or bad, I have known how both to have plenty and both how to have nothing. Listen to how he says it. I know both how to be abased. Philippians 4 and 12. Abased means you lost your job, you lost your income, there is no money in savings, there's nothing, you're down. You say, look, I know how to be abased. I also know how to abound. There's plenty going on. You see, you know, in season and out of season. In season, you are flourishing, you know, you're producing and things are happening. Out of season, the leaves are dry, things are withering off and so on. Well, whatever, he said, look, I know how to handle those situations. I mean, we want to always be in season. But what happens when you're out of season? What happens when things are cut off? Well, this is spiritual resilience. These are the examples, epitome of, you know, these are the prime examples of those who are resilient in the Bible. He said, look, I know and I'm instructed in all things, both to be full and to be hungry. I know how to abound. I know how to suffer need. I can do all things. Through Christ, which strengthens me. Can you do all things? Through Christ that strengthens you. Is that your testimony? Can you? Well, Paul said, yeah, I can do all things. I can handle it. I can take the heat. I can take one on the chin. You know, I knock down and knock down, but don't stay down. I get up again. You know, when I'm full, I'm praising the Lord. When I'm empty, I'm praising the Lord. I know how to abound. I know how to suffer want. I can handle all these things. Yes, I can. Praise the Lord. And so these people were rugged and resilient, you know. And he told Timothy the same thing. You know, Timothy was his son in the Lord. And he said to Timothy, he said, look, you know, you must endure hardships, hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't let, you know, some defeat, some things and so forth, you know, deface you. You know, say, look, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that a warrior, a soldier, entangled himself in the things of this world. Look, you know, detach yourself from the things that are going to be distractions. Stay focused as a soldier. And when you are striving for masteries, you must do it lawfully too. You got to know the rules of engagement. Otherwise, you might be disqualified. And he began to tell Timothy these things. He's a rugged man. You know, a personal testimony here. I know when I was a young man in Nigeria many years ago, I was in this place called Federal School of Science in Lagos. And it was like more like a junior college kind of setting for those of you in the U.S. And, you know, some of my friends and, you know, we used to call each other rugged man, based patterned after the scripture. A rugged man. And you say, well, are you rugged? Are you handling? Yeah. You know, rugged man. You know, because, you know, we encourage ourselves like that. You know, you must handle. Are you handling? You know, we were young, but all kinds of things were going on, but we were encouraging ourselves with scriptures. Paul is encouraging this young man here to be a rugged man. You know, go through stuff. You know, be rugged. Know how to endure hardness. It'd be nice if we never had any problems, but, you know, you're going to have those problems. So how do you handle? Praise the Lord. You know, so these are some of these people who are powerful, powerful in the scriptures. You know, are you battle tested yourself? You know, what will you do when you are faced with your own trials and your own challenges? You know, here are some promises for you. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 8, it tells you, look, the Lord God, it is he that doth go with you. He will never leave you. He will always be with you, and he will never forsake you too. And he will be there with you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them or all the problems that may come. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31. And he said exactly pretty much the same thing again in verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Therefore, fear not and be not dismayed. Praise the Lord. The Lord is with you, so don't be dismayed. Jesus promises that I will be with you, lo, even to the end of the world. And in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, we are told, you know, that look, strengthen yourself with this encouragement, even ahead. Be prepared because it is coming. You know, that's what that scripture is telling you. It is coming. So be prepared ahead of time. You know, be prayed up, be ready, be strengthened yourself when it comes, because it is coming. Because this is how he puts it. He said, when, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So for sure it's coming. And when you pass through, you know, the fire, I say, when you are in the waters and the rivers, I'll be with you. They will not overflow you. It'll be like they will almost overflow you, but they won't. You know, so be strengthened. Know that it is coming. It is coming. He said it when. And then he said, look, and when you walk through the fire, it is also coming. There'll be situations. But you've got to know with confidence that you're coming out on the other side. Because you are walking through and you are passing through, and even the fire will not kindle upon you. The Lord began to give them this, you know, this encouragement. And he says even to Isaiah how the Lord is told him he's going to help him. The Lord told him this in Isaiah 41 verse 10. That's why he was able to come out in Isaiah 50 verse 7 and say those things. The Lord told him how he's going to help him. He said, I will help you. And every time Isaiah prophesied those things to somebody else or to Israel, he used it to strengthen himself. You know, and I found that, look, you know, I have to do that all the time as well. Every time I come out here and I give word of encouragement, I'm using it also to strengthen myself. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, these are the confidence that the Lord is trying to, you know, stir up in us, ignite this thing in us. That look, I'm right there with you. You don't need to be afraid. You know, I will strengthen you. You know, when your strength is little, he said, I will strengthen you. You know, when your strength is weak, I will uphold you, even with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, The Lord always talks about his right hand. He says, I've sworn by my right hand and by the strength of my arm, you know, that I will not give your corn to be meat for your enemies anymore. Isaiah 62:8. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly, and he has gotten him the victory. He always talks about his right hand. And the other day I was talking about, you know, can you arm wrestle the Lord? You know, when you wrestle, you sit across the chair with him, you put your arm together and you wrestle, and you're going to wrestle his fist down, I mean his arm down. Can you do it? No, of course not. The right hand of the Lord gets him the victory all the time. And the Lord wants to show you that right hand. You know, he will try to flex it for you so you can see his muscles if you want to. It's called the right hand of the Lord. Psalm 118 and verse 16 will tell you that. Say, the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. You know, and God will strengthen you with that right hand. He's right there with you. Here are a few more scriptures to stir you up so that you will not be weak, but you will be strong. And you become a battle-tested believer as well. Battle-tested means you've gone through a few things. You know, you went into a fist fight with a lion. They come out there, they say, where do you get those scratches on your body? You say, well, you should see the other guy. That's right. That's what David said. Now, you don't think that David didn't come out, you know, with a few scratches. Oh, you know, one time I was asking the Lord, how in the world did he do that? And I saw something, you know, you know, and he put that, there was this stiletto knife that he had, you know, pulled it out and stuck it, you know, underneath the chin of the lion like this. That's how I saw it. But, you know, the things poured at him. You know, say, delivered me from the paw of the lamb. Things, you know, and he got a few scratches. Ask him about it when you see him. He'll tell you. But when they saw it, you say, where'd you get those wounds? Say, well, you should see the other guy. He came out victorious. And you know, David had some mighty men too. And one man can go out there and fight 800 people. Another man can go there and take a spear out of the land of a giant and use it to kill him. He can go out against a lion. I mean, the people that were around him, David's mighty man. That's what they're called. You know, they learned from him. It rubbed off on them. This man, David, even from a young age, you know, how do you go into a hand-to-hand combat with the lion and come out winner? Huh? Well, because that's the kind of, you know, mindset that this David had. You take what is mine now. And that again tells you that, look, there are times that the devil will take what's yours. Our hope and prayer is that the devil will never take what's ours. We're able to defend everything correctly all the time. But sometimes, you know, devil might cheap shot you. Maybe you are not looking or something. You'll take something that's yours. Then what's your response? Well, David knew how to go back and go after the lion, get back what he sees. Go after the bear, get back what he sees. Go after the Amalekites and get what is his. In every one of these situations, he went after what was already taken. That's right. So when you lose anything, you know, yeah, it may be the Lord trying to teach you something through that, but nonetheless, you know, your posture will be, look, I will get back what is mine. Praise the Lord. You know, isn't that the same thing that the Lord's doing? And the Lord came and did. The devil took away from, you know, his children, what the Lord gave to his children, you know, and took away the dominion from Adam and so forth. And Jesus came to get it back. You know, that's what he did. So we must have this posture also that, look, I am going to stand up and fight and get back what's mine. David did it all the time. Now, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Let me give you a few more scriptures here quickly. Going to tell us about, look, God doesn't want us to be weak. He wants us to be strong. So these scriptures are going to call out, you know, the strength versus the weaknesses. I'm going to call them out. You don't want to be weak. You know, he said, look, when you are going through stuff in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, you're going through some stuff and then you cave in, you give up, and you faint. Well, he says then, your strength is small. You know, Proverbs 10 and 24 and 10 say, if thou faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. And God doesn't want us to have so small strength. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yeah. You say, well, that's easier said than done. I know that, but you know, that's the encouragement that the Holy Spirit gives us. And when you are strong, Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. They will do valiantly. So we need to strengthen ourselves like that. Don't be a pushover for the devil. So that, the way I like to say it, in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, this scripture gives another insight. He said, look, you know, when you get defeated in little things, how are you going to do against stronger things? You know, so the things that we go through in life, yeah, the small things, and yet there are bigger things. Did you know that, you know, sometimes when God even, let me say this right now. I just feel the anointing of the Lord to say this. Sometimes the Lord may even allow you to, you know, for you to go through some stuff that looks like he didn't answer it. You know, you're praying for deliverance out of that situation and he allow you to go through. We've been talking about it. You know, strength through the pain. The reason might be, you know, when he allows you to do that and you come out on top and show him that you can do it, then he will deliver you from other things. Because he said, he that is faithful in little will be faithful also in much. You've already proved that you can handle this. So you don't, he doesn't need to put you through another test. Glory to God. That's wisdom for you here this morning. So, you know, it's not every time the Lord will deliver, you know, from the present conflict or situation that you're in. He may allow you to go through it. And when you go through it, and it looks like you are defeated, it looks like things are upside down and so forth. No. Maybe God is just standing back, see how you handle. And if you are able to handle that well, then he said, good. Yeah, she has passed, he has passed. And so there's no need for the other stuff. You've been faithful in little, it's guaranteed that you'll be faithful in much. There's no need for him to put you through other bigger stuff. He just said, you're done. You got it. Now move on. And you got a crown. You got a jewel in your crown. It's called a diadem. A diadem is a crown that has many, many of these little jewels. You know, so you got another jewel. You picked up another victory. And the Lord is good. But if you fail in the little thing, then you got to get some more tests. You know, you got to keep doing it until you pass. But once you pass it, you know, you graduate. Praise the Lord. You know, so this scripture says in Jeremiah 12 and 5, if, and this is, you know, something for us to consider, you know, when you are going through small things and you give up, well, how are you going to handle even bigger things? You know, if thou hast run with footmen and they wearied you, well, how are you going to contend with horses? you know, it's a good question. You stand toe to toe with a footman just like yourself. They don't have four legs. They don't have two heads. And you can't compete. Well, how are you going to compete with a horse that has the stamina of a horse and four legs? You can't do it. You know, so if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, you know, you are already weary. You know, when things are, you know, things are good generally in the land, but you had a few troubles and it wearies you. What are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? I mean, right now, you know, the United States is almost like a breadbasket for the whole world. I mean, we still have jobs. I mean, occasionally a person may lose their job, but generally speaking, there's, you know, things are still moving. You can still go to the store and buy this and that and so forth. Well, I mean, if in that, during those times you have some hardships and you cave in, what are you going to do when really all hell breaks loose? You know, what are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, there are certain times of the year in which Jordan overflows its banks, you know, so, and then it's like a tsunami that comes in. Well, he's saying, well, if you can't handle a little wind, how are you going to handle the tsunami when it comes in? So these are scriptures that we need to look at. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 says, quit ye like men. You know, don't have this mindset of a quitter. Quit here doesn't mean give up. It's actually the opposite. It means don't be a defeatist, you know, but be strong in the Lord. That's right. You know, so that's what that means. We need to stir up yourself, ignite this fire within you that, look, I am not going to let the devil push me over. I am not going to do it, you know. I am not going to be a pushover. I'm not going to let him play ping pong with my life. He's not going to have it, you know. So, you know, you got to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9, I want to show you this phrase so that you know exactly what it means. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4, you know, there was always this constant battle between the children of Israel and the Philistines and so forth, you know, and sometimes one would get the upper hand and so on and so forth, you know. Well, every time the children of Israel defeated the Philistines, here's what they said unto themselves. He said, look, be strong. Quit ye yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, you know, as they have been to you. Quit ye yourselves like men and fight. So you can see the real meaning of quit ye yourself like men here. You know, it's like, look, don't, you know, have this, you know, defeatist attitude. But stand up and fight for yourself. That's what the real meaning means. Be strong, fight, defend yourself. This was even coming from the enemies of the Israelites. But just read this just to show you what quit ye like men means. It means don't be a loser, basically. You know, don't let the devil, you know, have the last laugh. And he can never have the last laugh. Praise God. But God knows every move the devil's always ever going to move, even before he made a move. And the Lord is with you, and he will strengthen you. This is my exhortation this morning. Nothing you've never heard before, but just to encourage you again this morning to be strong in the Lord. You know, and there's a reason why the Lord may be allowing whatever it is that he's allowing. You know, I would love to believe that, you know, I mean, I can pray through any situation and get the victory. I mean, if even they stole something, the Lord can reverse it, can do all these things. But what if the Lord allows you to go through? What if the Lord allows me to go through? Am I going to cave in? Am I going to crack under pressure? And that's the thing here. You know, are you going to crack under the pressure? You know, and what if, you know, you're going through one thing and before that thing is over, another thing comes in, like Job. And, you know, and Job could have cracked under the pressure. I've never seen, you know, and I pray that none of us will ever have to experience anything like Job did. But those things were placed in the scriptures for our encouragement. But somehow Job was able to say, though he slays me, yet I would trust him. And he was able to say, look, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, even though it wasn't the Lord that took it from him, but the Lord allowed it, you know, to be taken from him. And at the end of the day, so look, even when you lose something there that you didn't want to lose, but you lost it anyway. Now, what will be the words that come out of your mouth? What will be your posture? You know, how will you respond? Is it building at those times of difficulties, those hardships, those adversities? Are they building resilience in you? We've looked at the examples. I call them epitome because they are the prime examples of resilience in the Bible. There's more, but these are some of the people that have gone through some stuff in the Bible, you know, and they keep going through and they don't stop and they don't give in. They don't cave in. And they don't stay down for the count. They bounce back, you know, and at the end, they have a victory and a testimony that can help us today. You know, so that's our lesson today, that the hardships that we're facing at the moment are designed to help us. And let's build up our spiritual capacity. That's right. We need to build up spiritual capacity. We're told that build up your most holy faith. Well, we got to build up spiritual capacity, and that God allowing us to do it through these things. And each person's story is different. You know, your story is different than mine. So is mine different than yours? I mean, they're all different. You know, what God may allow you to go through or take you through, remember, he'll be there with you. But what he may allow for you may be different for me. You know, I may get easy victory over the things that you seem to, you know, fail under. But each time we seem to fail, I qualify that with quotes, we fail forward. We don't fail backwards. Praise God. It's like, look, I'm going to get up. I'm going to keep running. I'm not. The race is not over yet. It's only over when you quit. You know, when you quit, then it's over. But as long as you get up and keep on running, you might actually win. Praise the Lord. You know, so don't give up. Be strong in these situations. Learn how to come back from situations. You know, I told the story before of the, you know, the women's track and field, U.S. 4x100 women's relay team, and how in the preliminary rounds, actually the heats before the finals, they dropped the baton. But one of them, who was a renowned veteran athlete, she knew what to do. She knew that, you know, unless they finished the race, they would not even have a chance for a protest. And so, you know, when she told the third leg of that relay, she ran the second. Alison Felix, they dropped the baton because somebody bumped into them, you know, and, you know, you lose even a half a second or even 0.3 seconds in those races, you're done. And they lost several seconds, but then she figured it out. Say, look, pick up the baton and finish the race. And they picked up, you know, and the ones like, and the other girl was a rookie, really, and said, just do it. So, you know, she picked up the baton. The race was over. Trotted it down, gave it to the final leg, and they finished the race. Then they had a chance to protest, because you got to finish the race. If you don't finish the race, there's no protest. So then they went and protested and said, look, somebody bumped us. You know, I was in my lane. Somebody stepped inside to my lane and bumped me. And then they reviewed the tape and they saw that it was true. You know, see, but they did not give up because of that setback. And eventually they reinstated them, had them run the race over by themselves, and they will qualify on time. And when they did, you know, I've told this story and you can see it for yourself, you know, on YouTube. And when they did, they put them into the worst lane for the finals. The zero lane has the sharpest turn because they were the last to qualify and everybody else had better lanes. But at the end of it, they were determined to prove something and they won that thing. They won that race, won gold in that race. Finally. I mean, just imagine if they had quit. Just imagine if they didn't pick up the baton and finish the race. I mean, see how beautiful that story is. But it all was because somebody had the senses to say, pick up the baton and finish the race. That's right. So if you drop the baton or the baton drops, you got to pick it up and finish the race. If you got knocked down on the canvas, you got to get up and finish the fight. You know, and at the end, who knows, you might just win. And this ladies, they ended up winning the gold medal. That's an amazing story. True story, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's it. You know, let's be a winner. You know, because God is on your side, causing you to have victory in all things. Be not a pushover, but be that winner. Praise God. And God is going to give us victory on every side. And don't let some setback, don't let the devil gloat over you for some setback. The last thing you want is the devil to say, aha, aha, I got you. No, make him eat those words. Praise the Lord. You got nothing. Because I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You are a defeated foe. You tell it to him. Remind him that he is defeated. And state your claim. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Praise God. And you come out and be a victor. Be a battle-tested warrior. And be, you know, someone whose testimony can help others. And at the end of the day, Jesus said, he that overcometh. Now, those things, those promises are given to overcomers. You know, not to anybody that gave up. If you gave up through any of these struggles, you know, then you don't get to earn the promises for the overcomers. You must overcome. Do we overcome by our strength? No. We overcome by his strength because he's with us. But you must know within yourself that by God's strength, you can do it. Praise the Lord. That's what Paul said. By my God, I can do all things because he strengthens me. That's what David said. By my God, I run through troops and leap over walls. And this is what all these people said. So I'm going to pray over the room. And that's my exhortation for today. Let us be like these ones who have been battle tested and come out and win and still stand. Bible say, having done all, still stand. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for everyone that's in the room today. Yes, we may be going through stuff, and everybody's stuff that they're going through is different from the other person's stuff that they're going through. But we know that at the end of it all, the story for every one of us will be, we are more than conquerors. As long as we don't give up, as long as we don't give in, we pray, Lord, help everybody that's in this room to know that it's not over yet as long as the Lord is with you. And the Lord is with you and your boat can't capsize as long as Jesus is in the boat. Storms may blow up against you and so forth, but be resilient. Ride out the storm. Hallelujah. Praise God. I pray that everybody would grow in grace, grow in strength, and build up spiritual capacity and resilience to ride out these storms, come out on top. Praise God. You know, and God is shaping us through these testings and trials. And let's not crack under the pressure. The Lord give you grace and strengthen you, even in the inner man, that you will not crack under pressure in the name of Jesus. But you will be strong in the Lord and you will stand and stand up against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, you will still be standing, even at the end. Devil throws everything against you that he can. You brush everything up with the shield of faith, and you'll still be standing. Your head lifted high at the end of the day. Your hand raised in victory at the end of the day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in all our tribulations. And in all the trials and in every place, our God always causes us to triumph. And we give him all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. May the Lord cause you to triumph. And I pray that every hand that is hanging down, every knee that's feeble, and the heads that are bowed down today will receive strength. Let the hands be lifted up. Let the feet be knees that are feeble, let them receive strength. Let the heads that hang down, let them be raised up. Lift up your head, he says, O ye gates. And let the King of glory come on in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.